Now, it's probably good to ask some questions about it, but if you read the scriptures, I mean, Philip was talking to the guy on the chariot, and they stopped the chariot. He said, "What stops me being baptized?" And they said, "Nothing. Here's the thing." He said, "Okay, stop the chariot, jump down, being baptized." He got back on again. There was no course, no long discussion about it. He just realized that he wanted to be baptized. And we've got to be very careful about all this. And in many ways, our freedom because of this is being eroded. You know, we know now many things in the paper about our free speech being eroded and being stopped, our threatened. Free speech is being threatened. I saw a little phrase the other day which says, "You can say what you like as long as you agree with me." And I think that's probably the way a lot of people think about it.
And now I've got the pulse, but being wrong is not one of
them. Oh, it is, definitely. It is now, I can tell you that. I'll see you afterwards. I can pray for you, my brother. It feels like 1984. Anybody read that book, 1984? Michael White and Jeff. There's a book called 1984, which is all about the government controlling words, thoughts, and action. And you have the thought police and all this sort of stuff. And it's, you know, some of the things which are creeping in seem to be quite like that. And the problem is, I think it makes people feel worried. It makes people feel very anxious about things, concerned, upset, because all this is going on. Oh, I mustn't do this. I'm going to upset this, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got to be very careful. We don't get like that in churches. But, and there's always a but. And do you know what but means? Forget everything that's been said before, because this is what we're really going to say. There are good news for us who are Christians. Good news for us who are Christians. We have freedom in Christ. We have freedom in Christ Jesus. And we need to proclaim that to everybody. And that's a freedom to live God's way. Freedom in Christ doesn't mean to say we can do what we want to do, but we do what Jesus wants us to do. We've still got to obey the laws of the land. We've very clearly, Jesus told us that we must obey the laws of the land, but we have the freedom to live our Christian lives the way that Jesus told us to do. He said, "I've come you might have life and have it more abundantly." And that word abundantly means superabundance. It means you can have a wow life, a fantastic life. And Jesus has said we can do that. John 11:25 said, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." So we can have that life because Jesus died for us and he's alive and he rose again. And that's a wonderful thing. Freedom in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to look at a few of these freedoms. What are the freedoms we have as Christians? The first one I want to talk about is freedom from sin. We have freedom from sin. If we become a Christian, we renounce our sin. We renounce all those things we've done wrong. We say, "I'm sorry for all those things." And we accept the forgiveness from Jesus, which he brought to us on the cross. And if you've never done that, that's a great thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to have all your sins forgiven and accept the work that Jesus did on the cross and become a Christian. And then live this freedom from sin. And Galatians 3:22 says, "But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ." That's the only way we can get free from that sin, is by believing in Jesus Christ. And that's the freedom we get. Because sin means death. In Romans we see that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and that's the freedom from sin and the eternal life which we get. We are free from the power of sin. Doesn't mean we don't sin, but we are free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has that hold over us. Romans 6 says, "We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin." What that means is, yes, we will sin, but we can get forgiveness immediately. We just, 1 John, it says in 1 John, if he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can have that freedom from sin at all times. The power of sin over our lives is broken because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's a wonderful thing to have, that knowing that we have that freedom from sin. Second one, we have freedom from the law. We have freedom from the law. Now, this was, we're talking here, the scripture talks very much about freedom from the law, which was the law of Moses, which was in the Old Testament. We have freedom from that. We don't have to have all those rituals. We don't have to have all that, obey all that law, which the Israelites had to do, the children of God had to do, because we are free from that. We've been set free from all that. And Galatians says again, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Don't get tied up in slavery to the law. What that means is don't get back into all rituals. Don't get back into all legal stuff. Don't get back into all that. We are free from all that spiritual stuff, which we need to. Paul was talking to the Galatians, because if you read further on in Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 14, he was talking about people who are coming in and talking to them and saying, you might be a Christian, but you still need to be circumcised. You still need to do this. You still need to do this. And Paul was saying, no, guys, you don't need to do that anymore. You are free from all that stuff because Jesus died on the cross for us. And we don't need to do that anymore. And it's something we've got to be very careful again, even nowadays in churches. We don't let that sort of thing creep in, that we start getting very legalistic. We must do this. We must do that. We must do this at this time. We've got to do this sort of thing. Now, I've been in churches where I think, what's happening? Because something's going on, and suddenly, I remember being, particularly when we were in a time of worship, and we were really just enjoying the presence of God, and then suddenly a voice said, wasn't that a lovely time of worship? It's time for the announcements. Let's move on. I thought, whoa. You know, and that's because we had to have the announcements at 10:30 or whatever the time was. We've got to be very careful we don't let all these things come in, that we say we must do this, we must do that, we must do this. It's important we do some things. But let's don't focus on those. Let's focus on worshiping God away from that from the law. Paul tells us, when you were directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. And we're free from that law because we're not under the law anymore and man's rules. We're under God's love through the Holy Spirit. It's so important we don't get stuck in the law, get stuck back in all these things. Tradition is good, but don't let it be our focus. We must be careful we don't get caught up in all those things. The third thing is freedom from our past. Freedom from our past. This is what we get when we have freedom in Christ Jesus. You know, our past can affect our behavior. Our past can affect our behavior today. Just think about it. What's happened in your past can make something happen today. Don't be trapped in our past. Don't be trapped in your past. Isaiah 43, our theme verse says, the first part says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, it doesn't mean to say that all the good things that happened in the past, you just say, oh, forget all those things, let's move on. No, what it's saying is do not dwell on them. Yes, give thanks for what's happened, the good and the bad, but get rid of them. Don't dwell on them. Let the Holy Spirit take them away. Because if you keep dwelling on those, it'll start keep eating inside of you. And it'll become your focus of your life. All these things will start, your focus will change from God and what your current relationship with Jesus. It'll change because you're thinking about all the things from the past. You can be released from them. You know, past hurts. Now, I'm not saying all these things are not valid. And it's not easy to release them. But all the past hurts, all the past disappointments, all the past failures, all those sort of things, just give them to God. You can say, look, all these things happened to me. They weren't good, God, but please take them off and let me walk in the freedom of releasing them to you. We can release these things to him. Even just things which happened, say, yesterday, we can release those things to him and say, that happened to me. I release it to you. Please give me the freedom from that. It's important we don't hold on to those things. and dwell on them in our minds, dwell on them in our spirits, because that deflects us from what we're supposed to be doing. Because the way we think reflects our actions. Jesus said that. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. The words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. So if what you're holding on to in here will come out, I'm sure you've heard that many times. Excuse me. You've heard it many times that what somebody says, you think, oh, where did that come from? Who's heard that? I have. Where did that come from? I wonder where that came from. And it comes from inside because it's probably something which happened years ago that has affected that person. Now, he can release you from them. He can release you from all those things. And you'll receive joy in your life. You receive that freedom. Now, it may be something which is really, really, really bad. That doesn't mean to say you have to forget them completely. But don't dwell on them. Maybe you've got to forgive someone. You know, you can forgive someone. And I was reading an article, which was an interesting article in the week, that it's if you forgive someone for something they've done to you, you don't have to forget it, but don't dwell on it. And they were saying, but what you must do also is use your common sense or whatever you want to call it, and don't get in that situation again. Don't get in that situation again. So if you got hurt in a particular situation, forgive what happened, but don't walk back into that situation so it can happen again. Be aware that it can happen again. You've got a role to play in all these things. Don't walk into situations which have occurred before, because it might happen again. You know, and I know people who've had lots of hurts in their past, and they've been prayed for, and they've been set free from them all. And folks, it's happened here. It's happened here to quite a few people. And if one of these days they might be bold enough to stand up and say so, but and tell you what it was about. But it's happened here, and we can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. The next one I want to talk about is freedom from ourselves. Now, this might sound a bit strange. Freedom from ourselves. Our mind holds us captive. Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. What it's saying there is, we need to change, when we become a Christian and we move in freedom in Christ, we need to change the way we think. The way we react to things, what our mind tells us to do, we need to change that. So we're allowing God to do it through us, not the way we think. Because in Matthew 15, he says, the words you speak, I've said this before, come from the heart, that's what defiles you. So that fits in with that. What we think comes from our heart as well. So we need to change the way we think when we become a Christian. You might think, oh, is that changing my personality? No, it just means the way we react to things. We'll still have the same personality. We'll still be the same sort of person. But the way we react to things will be different if we allow the Holy Spirit to change, renew our minds. Renew our minds, take out all the old things. The way we do things. It is a change. It's a mind, what you might call a mindset change. A mindset change. We need to do that. And Paul tells us how to do it in Ephesians 4. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Put on the new nature. In new thoughts and attitudes. The Holy Spirit will renew our thoughts and attitudes. And when we allow him to do it, it is quite amazing. You start reacting in a different way. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and they had become a Christian. And they said, it's quite amazing. I don't react the same way. I don't react. When someone used to cut me off in a car, I used to go crazy. I don't do it anymore. When somebody says something to me and I don't react the same way, I just let it go now. I don't argue, I don't have a big punch up with them. I just let it go. I just react a different way, quietly. And that's an example of what happens when we allow God to change, renew our minds, when you become a Christian. And it's even more important we don't let that slip as we go along our Christian journey. Because we need to let the Holy Spirit work that out through us as we walk and we get more and more into our Christian journey. Because the more and more we get into it, the closer we get to Jesus and our relationship, the more we're going to get attacked. The more we're going to get things trying to come against us and stop us doing these things. It happens all the time. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to your relationship with Jesus, the more you're going to find things are going to start happening. The more things are going to start coming against you. The more things you're going to be tempted with. The more things you're going to be, see if you're going to react to. And you've got to be really tested and be really careful about it. They say about counting to 10. Well, you might sometimes have to count to 20 because it may be something which the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. And you must not react in a particular way. Or he might be telling you to do something and you want it, you've got to do it. And that's hard as well. But we've got to learn to change our minds in every way. And because of that, we don't need ourselves to live in defeat. We don't need to live in defeat. What do I mean by that? It means that we don't say, oh dear, oh, that's it. Oh. No, we don't. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. 1 John 5 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Jesus won the victory on the cross over the world, sin and the devil. That's what it says. And we can overcome. We don't need to walk in defeat. We can walk in victory. Don't let people say no, no, no. Just say yes, yes, yes. Now we can walk in that victory because of what Jesus has done. It's so great to be able to do it, to know that there's often a verse which is quoted, greater is he that's in me that's in the world. In other words, the Holy Spirit that's in us is greater than anything which is in the world. Nothing can come against us. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Any word spoken against you in condemnation, in judgment, you shall condemn. That's what the Bible says. We have that authority. So anybody says something in judgment against you, you can condemn it in the name of Jesus. The Bible gives us that authority to do it. And anything which is coming against us, it won't prosper. Because we have got greater the powers in us that's in the world. We need to comprehend that. We are living in victory. We're not living in defeat. We're living in victory. As someone said, well, it doesn't look like it in the world at the moment. Well, as someone once said, hey guys, we know the end of the book. We know what happens on the end page. And that's Jesus had won the victory and he's going to win the victory again. He's going to make sure that everybody knows he won the victory when he comes back to take us to be with him. It's all the freedom we can have. So what is the result of this freedom? What should be the result of this freedom? Let me read a well-known passage. I love this passage because I think it really tells us what one of the fullness is. We walk in the fullness of God's love when we have freedom. We walk in that fullness of God's love. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That's a wonderful passage, isn't it? It's a wonderful passage saying we can walk in all that fullness. Walking in the fullness of God's love is amazing. When you begin to realize that God loves you and how much he loves you, and you walk in that fullness, it is incredible. Your whole life takes a different slant. Your whole life feels different. We need to allow that love to pour into our hearts. The Bible says He will pour His love into our hearts by His Spirit. He will pour it into our hearts, not just trickle it in, pour it into our hearts. I like to think He deluges it into our hearts by His Spirit. That's how much God loves us. Someone said, God can't love you any more, and He can't love you any less. He loves you totally and absolutely.
He is love.
He is, of course. He's God. God is love. And we need to walk in the fullness of that love. It says here, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep His love. Paul is saying we should start understanding how much God loves us. We need to understand that. I had an experience many years ago where I felt God's love was pouring into me in an amazing way. And I have to say, I've never been the same since, because I just felt this love of God just pouring into me. And it just was amazing. I just felt I wanted to reach out and grab hold of God's hands and hang on to them and not let go, because it was just so amazing. And when that happens to you, you begin to realize how much God loves you. And if you can walk in that fullness of His love, your life is different. And the freedom to experience it. Experience is not bad. Some people say, oh, you shouldn't have experiences. Experience is good when it's good, God's love. We need to experience God's love. The other result of the freedom is that we know we are God's sons and daughters. You know you're a child of God. Isn't that amazing? Who's your father? The God of the universe.
Father knows.
Sorry?
Yeah,
He's also the God of the universe as well, as I was saying. So, you know, we need to, He's the God of the universe. And I was thinking about this, maybe somebody's, what a lovely opportunity and opening. You could go into, if somebody says to you, so what does your father do? He's the God of the universe. He runs the universe, guys. He's a very powerful man. You could say that to someone, they say, what are you talking about? And then you could introduce him to Jesus. Introduce that person to God and to Jesus. Remember years ago, I was in having lunch, a business lunch it was. Somebody had organized this lunch and a speaker. And I was sitting at a table with the person who organized, his wife. And she'd been talking to me and saying, oh, you know, you've just come back from holiday. And I said, well, wasn't it? Yeah, I went on holiday. Where did you go? And I told her I'd been to Toronto and I'd been to a church in Toronto. What did you go there for? And I started telling her why I went there and how I just amazingly things had happened to me and to other people there. And what God was doing, and she was quite amazed. She was quite staggered. And she knew I was a Christian, but she was just questioning me. And then suddenly this person came up. And she said, so-and-so, have you met Tim Brown? No, he said, oh, this is so-and-so. He might have something, he might have come with you. He's Jewish. And I don't know why, just quick as a flash in my mind, it came up to, I said to him, oh, hi. I got a friend who's a Jew. And he said, oh, what's his name? I said, Jesus, do you know him? And he said, oh, that's quick, I like that. And he sat down and we had a chat. And those are the sort of openings you can have. But what about this one then? What does your father do? He runs the universe. That'd be a fantastic opening. But we are a son and daughter of God. Amen. We have that inheritance. As sons and daughters, it's a wonderful thing to have. It's a really great thing to have, to know that we are His sons and daughters. The other thing that we can have is peace. When we walk in freedom in Christ, we can have peace. Paul says in Philippians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ. Peace. In this world at the moment, I think we need a lot of peace. What does the Bible say about it? Don't worry about anything. Pray about it. Tell God what you need and thank Him then you will experience God's peace. So if we are having this freedom in Christ, all the things I talked about, we can have peace. We don't need to be anxious. We don't need to be worried. We will get anxious. Of course we'll get anxious and worried. But when we do, we can come and tell God we're anxious and worried. Tell him. He's our Heavenly Father. Paul says, tell him.
If we're thankful, we won't be resentful. So we've got a choice to be thankful or resentful. I'd rather be thankful, wouldn't you?
Well, I always try to be thankful, but, you know, it's human nature to be resentful at times, isn't it? But we can have peace. We can have peace, though, can't we?
That's when we have peace.
When we tell God everything, we can have peace. And we pray about everything. So thank him for all he's done. That's the scripture says that. Thank him for all he's done. Then we experience God's peace. So we thank him. We thank him for what he's done. But we also hand things to him. Don't hang on to things yourself. Give it to God. He's there. That's what he's there for. But to love us. He loves us that way. You know, we might go to someone we know and say, I've got this problem. You know, can you help me? That's fine. But we can also go to God and say, I've got this problem, please help me. And you'd be surprised what he does. He will tell you the answer. He'll say, well, just don't worry about it. Let me deal with it. That might seem strange, but you can have a conversation with God. You can sit down in your room and have a conversation with him. He'll tell you things. You've got to be open to it, but he will tell you. He might tell you from the Bible. He might tell you straight to your mind or thinking or whatever. Or somebody might ring you up, or somebody the next day might tell you something. You might hear something on the Sunday at church. He doesn't always answer you right away, but quite frequently he'll tell you later. He might tell you, just don't worry, stop. Just leave it to me. Leave that to me. Forget it. Give it to me. So you give it to him. It goes off your shoulders. It's onto God's shoulders. And you go, oh, I feel taller now. I'm walking that way. And you will have peace. There's no better peace than God's peace. So how do we have this freedom and then the result of this freedom? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Freedom from sin, law, the past and ourselves. Galatians 5:25 tells us the answer. Live and walk in the Spirit. If you're living and walking in the Spirit, you're going to have this freedom. That's how you have freedom. God sent us the Holy Spirit so we could have this freedom and we could live and walk in that way. Minute by minute, daily, day by day, hour by hour. Now what does it mean to live and walk in the Spirit? Living means live out our beliefs, live out our faith, free from sin, in love. Walk means walking under control of the Holy Spirit, being obedient to his voice. It means doing what he is telling us all the time. Not what we want to do. Not what other people are telling us to do. It means keep on living and keep on walking. That's what that scripture says. Don't do it once, but keep on living and walking in the Spirit. By being filled with his power and giving complete control to God. Complete control to the Holy Spirit in everything. And 2 Corinthians 3 says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit brings freedom. Do you want freedom in Christ today in a new way? Do you want to really experience that freedom in Christ? All those freedoms I've talked about and the results? Then we need to step out in the Spirit's empowering purpose for our lives. Let go of our past. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us. Walk in victory, not defeat. Walk in that victory which Jesus has won for us. Live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and his freedom and his love and his peace. It's a great life. It's a great life. It's abundant. It's free. An empowered life for Jesus. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. It's a free gift from God if we will only step out and do it. Guys, this morning, step out. Take the step. And I'll tell you something. You won't regret it. I can tell you that honestly. You won't regret it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you set us free from so many things. We thank you that through Jesus' death on the cross, we have the victory. Death and resurrection and ascension, we have the victory, Lord. Help us to live and walk in that victory. Help us to live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every minute of the day. Doing what you're doing according to your will and purpose, but being guided in everything under the control of the Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see what you want us to do. Give us the boldness to walk in freedom. Freedom from all those things. I thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here this morning wants to get rid of some of these things, then please stay afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you and just ask the Holy Spirit to remove things from your life that may be hindering you taking these steps and living that in that free life this morning. And if you have never become a Christian, I'd love to lead you to Jesus this morning, introduce you to him in a new way. So please again, stay, and I'd love to talk to you afterwards. So Father, thank you again. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that greater that he is in us is in the world. Help us as we go from this place, Lord, to just be empowered to serve you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.